Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the NIIT Limited Q4 and FY13 earnings conference call. As a reminder, for the duration of this conference, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode. There will be an opportunity for you to ask questions at the end of today's presentation. Should you need assistance during this conference, please signal an operator by pressing star and then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Vijay Thadani, CEO, NIIT Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you very much. Welcome, everyone, for joining us on the quarterly call, but this is also the annual results call, so I would immediately jump into the fray. I have Mr. Pawar, the Chairman of the company, Mr. Rajendran, the Chief Operating Officer, Director on the Board, Mr. Raghavan, Mr. Sapnesh Lalla, CFO, Mr. Rohit Gupta, Kapil Saurabh, Investor Relations, and other business leaders here available with us to answer all your questions. I'll quickly take you through the results, and then we'll open it up for Q&A. I'm sure you will have a lot of questions after what we have to discuss today. Going back traditionally, I will describe the environment in which we work. You are most familiar with it, but just to repeat, the economic volatility of last year did have its impact on India's GDP growth also. We had the lowest growth in the last one decade. And why I raise this is because GDP growth and job creation are in many ways correlated. In fact, one feeds the other. On the other hand, the economy is expected to pick up in FY14, and we are all looking forward to it. This definitely affected the hiring sentiment in India, and there was a sharp decline in the employment outlook across sectors. Hiring in IT sector was, as per NASSCOM figures shared recently, has dropped over 20% in FY13. Even though the industry showed a modest two-digit growth, what is important is that everybody was focusing on conserving resources and improving efficiencies to retain their margins. The immigration bill worries added to those woes, and to that extent, the consumer sentiment for IT training remained weak. Also contributed to by continuing delays in joining dates, which many IT industry companies had given appointment letters to future graduates. On the other hand, I think the usage of IT has increased dramatically in the company, and the user industry was very buoyant with requirements for IT workers or IT professionals. Demand for banking jobs has been on an incline. As you know, banking jobs have a social status as well. And with new bank licenses and new private banks opening branches, as well as high retirement burden, which many public sector banks are facing, banking sector presents a great opportunity, and I think the demand for that remains strong, as you would see in the numbers. School segment, the private schools continue to show strong preference to have differentiated products, which are technology-based solutions to improve quality of teaching. On the other hand, the government segment was slow on decision-making, which did not matter too much to us since we had anyway decided not to participate, but government decision-making did hurt our collections drive, which were better than previous year, but could have been still better. And lastly, on the global economic front, I think the increased outsourcing to specialized training firms is catching momentum. We participated in many more RFPs and had very good successes. So that was the overall thing. Essentially, the macro headwinds continue to be there, but three out of the four platforms of growth that we had identified showed very robust growth. This brings me to the growth platform. The individual growth platform for the individual section is Cloud Campus, which has now had 27,000 enrollments. During the last year, we also prepared ourselves for getting the infrastructure ready with all the features and benefits that the students will get. And now we have 27,000 beneficiaries of that in terms of students. And that with 50 courses is now getting, has been rolled out to 150 centers. Its deployment will increase to about 300 centers and will spread across 100 courses by the end of FY14. So very, very good response and very good methodology, as is appreciated by our students. In managed training services for the corporate segment of the business, we added 5 new clients, have now 14 global customers, and that business over a 2 or 3 year period has now built a revenue visibility of $143 million over the next few years. And the revenue of managed training services was 41% year-on-year growth. In schools, the NGuru solution found a lot of favor. While the NGuru platform is a very versatile platform, we introduced those products and services which were white spaces where we felt that we could add significant value to the customer without going through the bloodbath of a commoditized interactive classroom offering which many other competitors had started, and that strategy also worked out well. We have a 17% growth in non-GSA, as we call them, and they now are 43% of our school learning solutions offering. We obviously de-emphasized government boot business. In fact, we did not add another contract in the whole of last year and have decided not to participate in that space. Still, the policy is conducive and is proven to be conducive. 817 private schools got added in FY13, which was a growth of 19% year-on-year. And in skills development space, which is school to job, NIT Yuva Jyoti had 34 centers operational by the end of the year with nearly 4,800 enrollments. If I was to share FY13 in a perspective, the corporate learning solutions had the best year with a revenue growth of 19%, EBITDA of $339 million, up 111% year-on-year, and an EBITDA margin at 11%, which was 485 basis points improvement. Within that, MTS, as I mentioned before, grew 41% and contributed 72% of corporate learning solutions revenue. Q4 revenue was up 15%. EBITDA margin was up at 11%, which was 110 basis points improvement year-on-year. School learning solutions in for the year FY13, revenues were up 16%. Non-GSA were up 17%, which means the government boot contracts did have a decline on a year-on-year basis, which was expected since we have not been accepting new orders and we are only completing the existing orders which are there. Non-GSA contribution has improved to 43% for the year FY13. It's in the individual learning solutions where we had a mixed response. The largest part of individual learning solutions where the IT, consumer IT, or consumer segment for IT courses or the retail learning centers, that's where we had the maximum problem. But in all other parts which were non-IT, which is banking, financial services, business process management, management education, in each one of them, we had a very decent and robust growth, and I'll share those as we go along. Overall, individual learning solutions revenues were up at $981 million, which was aided by non-IT enrollments, which grew up by 45% in Q4. In FY13, the revenues were at $4,562 million, and the enrollments were up 48% year-on-year. One very interesting feature, which is a lead indicator for the trust returning in an IT career, is our annual aptitude test, which we call NIT IT Aptitude Test. This year, we had 152,000 people appearing for this exam, which is a growth of 22% on a year-on-year basis. In skill building solutions, as I mentioned before, we had 34 operational centers. In quarter four itself, we had 1,500 enrollments, taking the total to over 4,800 over last year. The numbers, all the comparative numbers that I am sharing with you are all on continuing business basis. As you know, last year we had the Element K divestment, which an Element K's accounts were included in our accounts for the first 6-odd months of the year, 6 months and 13 days to be precise. And therefore, for us to do a comparison would be unfair, and therefore I do a like-to-like comparison by excluding Element K and also pass-through revenues where for certain contracts we have to necessarily supply hardware and bill it to the customer immediately, which normally does not have any margin. Overall financials, if I look at quarter four, our total revenues came at 2.216 billion rupees with an EBITDA at the same level approximately of last quarter, which is not good. In fact, it's very disappointing, which is at 71 million. Depreciation was at 223 million. And after including share of profits from associates and taking the benefits of some taxation, we had a profit after tax, reported profit after tax of 27 million, which is an EPS of 0.2. For FY13, our total revenue was 9.608 billion and PAT of 263 million. So quite obviously, quarter three and quarter four have not had the benefit of the order book, which quarter one and quarter two had. On the other hand, what is not visible in these results is that the enrollment shortfall, which is essentially what has contributed to the decline in revenues, was higher in Q1 and Q2 on a comparative basis than in Q3 and Q4, and I'll share those details with you. If I was to see the comparison on a continuing business basis after excluding pass-throughs, we would have a revenue decline of 5% year-on-year at an overall level. This is despite the fact that three businesses grew fairly robustly, but because their size was small compared to the large career building solutions business, we had a minus 5%. EBITDA, of course, was affected by operating leverage as well as the change in business mix. As luck would have it, it was the high volume as well as high margin business which was more severely affected, and that will be visible in the EBITDA walk, which I'll take you through in a minute. So we had an 1198 million EBITDA in FY12. Operating leverage cost us 303 million, which is essentially the additional cost we had to bear in of not having our overhead spread over a larger revenue base. Business mix, which is lower profitability products doing better and higher profitability products doing worse, cost us 298 million. Cost inflation was 309 million. NIT Yuvajyoti, which is a fledgling business and in the early years, given the large investments, would have a loss, was 44 million. But cost management allowed us to recover at least 279 million. So fairly aggressive cost management drive. And I must put the cost management drive in a perspective, because it is reducing the cost of running the car while the car is in motion. When you have nearly 500,000 students enrolled with you and coming to you, within that to reduce the cost structure can be a challenge. At the same time, I think we managed it fairly well by bringing down the cost structure quarter on quarter, matching with time to the current level, and overall benefit was 279 million. The business mix, I think the corporate business has now grown from 14 to 23%. Individual has declined from 74% to 64%. Schools have improved from 11% to 13%. In terms of geography mix, US and Europe are now a larger percentage of the total share, given the fact that corporate business is predominantly in US and Europe. It has increased from 14% to 23%. India was at 54% compared to 57%. Rest of the world saw a severe drop because, as we mentioned in the first quarter itself, we had some severe problems of working with partners in Africa, and in the process of resolution of those problems, we stopped giving any credit and made sure that we focused on collections. So this did have an impact on our revenues this year, but we are happy we did that because at least we would have better liquidity and better control over this emerging channel. On continuing business basis, individual growth was minus 21, schools plus 16, corporate plus 19. In EBITDA contribution, individuals or corporate contributed 177 million of EBITDA, schools contributed 9 million. I'm talking of more than what it was in FY12. Individual consumed 812 million out of last year's EBITDA and still building 43 million compared to last year. If I go down to the level of detail of business, on a continuing basis, corporate learning solutions grew 19% year-on-year, as I mentioned before. Margin improved by 485 basis points. Very robust performance. Added one new customer in quarter four, thus making it a total of 14 customers overall and 5 added in FY13. Customer added in the last part of the quarter was a large oil and gas customer, which therefore now gets us, it gives us at least 3 large customers in oil and gas segment. MTS contributed 74% in this quarter and 72% across the year. We had an order intake of $62.5 million in this business, up 16%. The way these contracts are accounted for, order intake in case of an MTS kind of a revenue typically looks at the one assured visibility, but over the period of the contract, the overall visibility of these contracts was at $143 million as on March 31st. So a fairly strong year for corporate learning solutions, a little ahead of the projections that they had made. School learning solutions, on the other hand, grew by 16% year-on-year. Please remember there are two curves operating here. There is the government boot business, which is downsizing as we are getting out of the existing contracts. During the last quarter, we completed one contract and closed it, which is Maharashtra, 500 schools. And in the coming quarter, in the quarter in which we are in, we will be closing another contract, which is Andhra Pradesh, which is a very large contract. And therefore, both these downsizing of schools has a positive impact on depreciation, positive impact on cash flow, and obviously in future, positive impact on profitability as we go along. EBITDA for the schools in this quarter was 8% and for the year was at 9%. Non-government revenue in this quarter was up 23%, as I mentioned before. We added 208 schools in quarter four to bring the total to 817 for the year. We had a total order intake of 916 million for the year, and the pending order book was at 5059 million. The declining EBITDA is essentially because of downsizing of government contracts, where some expense streams will still remain, and towards the last part of the contract, while you are not billing, you still have to keep the resources live to complete the closing formalities. In individual learning solutions is where we had a mixed bag, as I mentioned, mixed more negative than positive. Our enrollments at 97,078 were down 8% on a like-to-like basis. Within that, IT was down 11%, non-IT was up 45%. During the beginning of the year, we had talked about defocusing on all kinds of government-oriented businesses, and one of the government job enrollment plans, which used to give us large students, we had done a project last year. We did not continue with that during the year. EBITDA went down because of operating leverage as well as cost inflation, but partially affected by very stringent cost controls, which did result in bringing down the impact of EBITDA. The positive features in this business was placements. In quarter four, placements were approximately the same level as last year, this quarter, which is showing a sign of bottoming out, which is the first sign of bottoming out that we are seeing. The second sign of this was the increased enrollment in NITAT, which is the NIT IT aptitude test, which grew up by 22%. The third was the non-IT enrollment growth, which has grown by 45% in this quarter and 48% across the year, which shows a change in product mix as we have IT and non-IT and non-IT playing a larger role. Overall enrollment were at 448,000, which was 17% down on a like-to-like basis. India IT was down at 19%. So 19% down for the year, 11% for the quarter, in many senses shows a deceleration in the declining trend. Non-IT was up 48%. Cloud Campus was the significant movement where we were getting the infrastructure which we had invested in parts of FY12 and continued in FY13. The major part of that investment cycle was completed, and now as we are speaking, we are into the software elements of pedagogical as well as people engagement interaction, where we conducted nearly 1,500 College Connect programs during the quarter. 500 College Connect programs during the quarter, where we talked about the new courses and new technologies. During the year, we also, in consonance with what we had talked about, introduced new age programs like in applied finance, infrastructure management, digital marketing, and specialized sales training program for banks. A pending order book was at 1.733 billion, 66% executable in next 12 months. In skill building solutions, while the revenue has moved by 5x, but it's on such a small base that it is not even yet figuring in, it's enough to say that they crossed the 10 million mark in their revenues, have 34 centers operational, 4,800 plus enrollments. It is a product which has low ticket value and requires large volumes. And the placement of their first few graduates has been very well accepted by the employers, which is extremely encouraging. I think the other focus area against the economic headwind was strengthening our balance sheet. And our balance sheet had two issues. One, we had a large working capital base, and the second, a large fixed asset base. So our net fixed assets have reduced by 143 million in FY13, which means we have been able to deliver this revenue with less degree of fixed assets, and there is an opportunity to do more. This actually happened by making sure that we did not add as many more assets as we were adding traditionally. We did have an asset addition of 773 million. The other is the collection against billed receivables. As you know, most of our billed receivables are from state governments. There was a very strong drive. As you know, government itself had a liquidity issue with the current account deficit and fiscal deficit issues, and therefore payments were very hard to come by. But even then, despite the fact that we had lower margin products doing better, we were able to maintain the working capital at the same level. Actually, in quarter four, we did get some good successes. We have actually been able to reduce our net debt from $733 million at the end of December to $462 million. And we have made nearly $193 million positive improvement in working capital in quarter four itself. Now, quarter four is typically a working capital guzzler given the peaking of revenues and government contracts and various other things. But for us to have recovered capital actually shows that we were able to collect more than we were to give. I talked to you about cost containment. We had to go on a very aggressive people sizing, and we have had an overall reduction in headcount of 403 on a base of 3727, which we started the year with. In this, the maximum amount of reduction in headcount, net reduction in headcount, is in the individual learning solutions followed by schools. Future direction, corporate is on a strong wicket. We have to improve our deal conversion rate, reduce our cost of delivery, and therefore we have a strong business outlook. Managed training services is the platform of growth. It's growing extremely well. We do have forex volatility to deal with. Fortunately, last year it had a tailwind, so that helped us. But in future, we have to be cautious. Margin improvement is definitely a way forward in this business. In schools, our focus is to remain on the private schools business and grow the Enguru solutions. Ensure that the government business, we make all the collections that are due. Our full management team is at this point of time completely focused on making sure that those overdue receivables get liquidated as quickly as possible. We have had a good success in the first 45 days as soon as they opened their purses after meeting the fiscal deficit number. And we are hopeful that in the next 6 months we would be able to collect a large sum. We have a large opportunity for cloud solutions in the school space as well. So one underlying phenomenon you will notice is that all platforms of growth are leveraging the cloud technology, which actually allows synergy between functions as well as growth and strengthening of our core competencies. We see growth in private schools, focus on IP and annuity-based revenues, and assured annuity revenues coming from the existing order books. In individual learning solutions, our business growth will come out of cloud campus, because cloud campus will allow us to offer higher average realization or achieve higher average realization from our students and offer non-IT programs and proliferate them with new age and non-IT programs very, very quickly. The cloud campus model has already started delivering results in terms of cost containment. As you can see, our variable costs are on their way down. So our variable cost percentage has been lower as we go forward. We expect to recover margins through volume as well as by ensuring that we offer a superior product mix with a higher average realization. There is a minor price increase which has been implemented, and that has been received well. In skills building, our focus is on capacity utilization and making sure that we fill up the existing centers more and leverage our existing center base before we go further. So overall, we remain very positive about the future. We do believe that in the corporate, that in the individual learning solutions, the signs of quarter four have shown that the degrowth is bottoming out, and we should be able to start seeing positive growth signs during this year and during in the coming quarter. First 6 weeks of the year have shown a good positive view in terms of small growth over the same period for 6 weeks of last year. Now, it's only halfway through and more action happens on the second half than on the first half, but first half definitely shows an encouragement of better quarter than we have experienced before. I would like to now open this for Q&A and encourage all my other colleagues to answer your questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir. We will now begin the question and answer session. At this time, if you would like to ask a question, please press star then one on your touchtone phone. Participants are requested to use only handsets while asking a question. Anyone who has a question at this time may press star and one. The first question is from the line of Kaushik Poddar from KP Capital Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Your CEO presentation ends up with this quote, steps taken to reallocate capital and to exit capital-intensive businesses to help company generate superior returns on all stakeholders. What do you mean by the reallocation of capital and exiting capital-intensive business?
Okay. The exiting capital-intensive business is the government schools business, which we have been talking about.
Okay. Okay. How much capital will you freed up once you get rid of the government school business?
Yeah. So actually, while this year's results are not very indicative of that, but I want to show you through numbers, and thanks for asking that. For example, our interest costs last year have come down from 277 million to 177 million. Okay. We have been able to bring down the interest cost by 100 million. Obviously, earlier we had the overhang of the loan which we had on Element K, that has been discounted, but even then, there has been a reduction in interest cost.
Okay.
Second, even the working capital usage, which also has an impact on our debt, was also minimized. So as we are recovering this capital, which is blocked in government bills receivables, as we are freeing up the capital, we are looking at newer opportunities to deploy that. And cloud campus is one of them. Even in cloud campus, we are now at the end of our investment cycle. So this year, we do see an upswing in the cash availability.
Okay. What is your net debt at the end of as on 31st March 2013 was in the range of 43 crores, isn't it?
46 crores.
Yeah. And what is the kind of debt you see at the end of next year, that is 31st March 2014?
Our net debt situation at the end of 2014 will to a large extent depend on how government behaves. Remember, this is the election year. While all our cylinders are firing as far as collections are concerned, and if that was to happen, we would perhaps be back to our debt-free status.
Okay.
But we do not have too much of CapEx coming up. We are expecting EBITDA to grow, and we have much more robust base of customers who pay faster. So growth is coming out of customers who pay faster. Our EBITDA will grow. Our CapEx is going to be less than last year as well. So in that case, you can see that there will be much more cash availability.
Okay. Thank you. I'll come back.
Thank you.
Thank you. Participants who wish to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone phone. The next question is from the line of Amar Maurya from India Navesh. Please go ahead.
Thanks a lot for the opportunity. Sir, my first question is primarily on the line of individual learning solutions. Yeah. Sir, if I see the individual learning solution, like what the enrollment has come down significantly, I believe, if I see per center enrollment, which was average in the range of 140 students, which has come down to 73 and then now it is 94. So if I want to get a split of this enrollment per center, what will be the IT and what will be the non-IT?
Okay, so if we were to do enrollment breakup on an IT and non-IT base, at a broad level, Mr. Raghavan will tell you the overall IT versus non-IT enrollment mix. Just one moment.
Okay, in terms of number of enrollments, overall at the center,
percentage-wise,
I'll just tell you, just give me.
Okay.
While he is just getting this data, maybe there is another question you have.
Yeah, sir. So, secondly, like all these centers, I mean, if I'm not wrong, in India we have 683 centers?
I'll tell you. We have a total of...
What we're looking at, I'll give you the answers for it. Out of...
I think the questions you are asking require us to prepare. So we'll answer one question. I will give the answer for both the questions.
In terms of the enrollments, about on a national basis, number of enrollments about little over 10% will be the enrollments on non-IT programs.
Okay.
But to kind of supplement an answer to your question, we have. You know, the whole concept of one NIIT is a recent phenomenon.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, as we go along in this concept, all centers, well, almost all centers will offer all programs.
Mm-hmm.
Currently, there is a mix of centers which are focusing on the finance and management training business areas. And there's a whole lot of other centers which are focusing on non-finance management or IT kind of programs.
So,
to have an average number, it will be kind of quite difficult to look at it. It's something I wanted to say.
Okay, sir. So, like, I believe last call we discussed, like, out of total 600 centers or 683 centers, whatever we have, I think 150 centers we had converted into NIIT One World, right?
We had said that we had about 150 centers which are offering the one
NIT program. Yes.
When we launched the JNIT Cloud Campus program.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay, so let me answer your question. We have at the end of this quarter 597 centers which are in India and offer skills development, offer the employability programs of the kind Mr. Raghavan is talking about, which is IT and non-IT.
Yes. So, sir, like out of this 590 centers, are we... 597, right?
Yes.
Yeah. 597 centers, all these are rented or it is like owned also, few of them are?
So... owned and rented is one differentiation.
Mm-hmm.
Other than two centers in Mumbai, none of the centers are owned, they are all rented.
Okay.
Two centers are owned by NIIT itself.
Okay.
The second differentiation is those which are rented by us,
mm-hmm.
of the 597,
mm-hmm.
right? When we say own centers, we mean centers which are managed by us.
Correct, sir.
The centers managed by us are 52.
Okay.
52 centers are managed by us, which means all the expenses and all the revenue comes in our P&L.
Correct.
The balance centers are business partner centers, where we only get a share of our revenue.
Correct.
So our revenue that you see in our P&L is our share of revenue, which on an average works out to about 35%. 35 to 40% of the gross revenue. That's why we use the term system-wide revenue also.
Correct, sir.
Okay. So those centers, the expenses don't come into our book of the center running expenses.
Mm-hmm.
The expenses required to support that center, those expenses come in our book.
Okay, and remaining will be like whatever our franchise
centers and therefore business partner centers.
Correct. So, sir, thing is this, like now, what is the outlook, sir? Like, you know, what I was expecting that at least in fourth quarter there should be a recovery in some enrollment primarily on the IT part. And considering the outlook which is given by the IT companies, what is your expectation? Because I am considering that all IT companies are now looking for employee rationalization and primarily talking about non-linearity and all those angles. So obviously the requirement of freshers or probably, you know, IT skilled employee is actually coming down. So what is your take on that and how it is going to recover from here?
Yeah, so first let me present to you a software industry spokesperson as well, a person who qualifies to be both a training and software industry spokesperson, Mr. Pawar, who is the chairman. He wants to answer your question.
Yeah, so...
Yes.
NASCOM's estimate of people to be added, that number has shrunk last year.
Yes, yes.
And will shrink a little more, so that's one area where people are hired, but please don't read that reduction coming only from non-linearity.
Correct, sir. Mm-hmm.
It is coming from an attempt to squeeze the best out of existing talent.
Correct.
Therefore, if you correlate with the capacity utilization, you'll see that a lot of it is coming from companies becoming conservative in the light of uncertainty in the marketplace, and therefore hiring less and having less on the bench and so on and so forth.
Correct, sir.
Non-linearity, as you know, is something the industry is working hard on but doesn't happen overnight. But please note that not all people employed in IT are in the software industry. There's a very large community in the user, user community as well. The companies who are using computers, government departments, ministries, small companies, large companies. So as you know, the domestic market grew faster than our export business in IT, and they continue to add talent.
Yes, sir.
So, while it's correct that in the slowdown people have been conservative in hiring, and that has happened in the past as well, it's also fair to say that with the NASCOM estimate for next year's growth being a bit higher than this year, and if America comes back into full traction, which is appearing to be so, that we will start seeing addition in talent in the future.
Okay.
Meanwhile, domestic demand of IT continues to grow. Government demand for IT, the expenditure on e-governance, as you're watching, continues to grow. So now that is reflected in a very important statistic, which is the placement of, the number of young NITians that we place. So while the IT industry's hiring went down about 20-odd%, the number of people that we placed this year is more or less the same number that we placed last year, which is around 36,000.
Okay.
Because we are not only supplying to the industry, to the software industry, we also have people also going and working in end-user organizations.
Correct.
That is part one. Part two, I think, is very important to see, and here I want to take you back more than 10 years ago to 2002. Which is the first time when our industry, both the software industry and particularly the training industry, faced a shock post the dot-com bust.
Mm-hmm.
So two things happened at that time. One is the hiring came to an absolute stop at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And as a consequence, the training industry, you know, students studying in college wanting to do a course on the side, find it easy to postpone their decision.
Correct.
The postponement came to a grinding halt, and we saw some of the postponement impacting our business last year as well. But the other thing that happened was that since the market was challenged, we saw a very solid improvement in market share of NIT. So we are expecting the same phenomena. And this time around, we are going to see something similar. In 2002, we used the opportunity of a slowdown and an acquired market to announce, they make big announcements. We announced 11 new courses that year.
Mm-hmm.
This year, we are using the opportunity to make a very big makeover through the cloud campus.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll be talking a bit about that if there are questions. Mm-hmm. It's a fundamental change in how we deliver and how people learn. And we are doing it at a time when the marketplace is going to be quiet, and therefore for us, it will be a big thrust going forward. And that will deal not only with people who are joining the software industry, not only people who want to become IT professionals in the domestic market, but increasingly for people beyond looking for IT jobs. So for us, I think we see this as a moment for a very big change, really a moment for aggressive re-entry into the market, and we're trying to do that through the cloud campus. Because you have to remember that young people coming into the workforce are going to increase with time, and the role of technology is going to increase with time. So we have become more non-IT job focused, become more open, become more technology-based in delivery. And so we are looking at this moment as a moment of turnaround when the market is quiet and we can make much more active intervention, which you will see us doing in the weeks and months to come. Vijay, back to you.
One more thing, like now the IT courses which we are offering, are we offering the new technologies like cloud, enterprise, mobility, collaboration? I mean, are...
So, NIT is traditionally known for its software engineering curriculum.
Correct.
And over a period of time, we added infrastructure management. We have now mobility and apps development courses which are coming up and actually have been conducted. We are always the first to conduct programs in a new technology such as Windows 8 or any other new technology with any of our partners. So these new age IT courses are definitely a part of the growth plan that we have for the future. Maybe Raghu would like to add a word on
that. Yeah, I would add to that analytics as well. And besides these, what we call as new age IT, we'll also be launching non-IT courses, not only the banking courses that you're already familiar with, but courses like applied finance, design, digital marketing, personality development for employability, and courses like that, which are very required for youngsters to acquire employable skills.
Sir, if you can share, sir, what was the revenue contribution on a yearly basis for the MGuru, this cloud campus?
It will be across courses, but maybe a rough figure
probably.
Be able to give.
Yeah.
A good part of our diploma courses.
So just give a percentage of revenue, what could it
percent,
be?
Yeah, what could be the percentage?
Small part will be about 5 to 7%.
5 to 6. Yeah, that's going to move.
Okay.
Now that is changing very rapidly because till last year we had only 3 programs. Raghu will tell you more.
I just want to say something more, taking this opportunity. What we have done in the cloud campus so far is nothing in comparison to what we have lined up going forward.
Okay.
In terms of number of courses, we today have about 50 courses. And that will become 100 courses by the end of the year.
Okay.
We have about 150 locations. This is little different from the JNIT cloud campus that we had launched, and we had talked about the number of centers. But this one we have 6 definitive features and cloud campus, which completely change the way students will learn. 150 centers have been equipped with that, and that number will reach 300 by end of the year. So we are talking about more features, more locations and more courses, which will give a material difference to our presence with the cloud campus. As Mr. Pawar was saying before, this is going to put a huge competitive advantage for us, not only to deliver more efficiently what we have with us right now, but also enable us to launch courses in new disciplines and new domains much faster than anybody can do. We recognize that the future going forward growth is going to be based on not only new age IT skills, but also based on non-IT skills, of which banking you're familiar with, and there are many more disciplines in which skills will be required. Having cloud campus will help us bring in quick partnerships, bring in good experts quickly, and be in a position to have a national launch with a phenomenal speed to market. That's our big plan. And with one NIIT, what will happen is that the front-end customer acquisition locations, namely our centers, will become more and more equipped to deal with the multiple set of courses. Therefore, no longer will a center be assigned just to do the IT course alone or banking course alone, or for that matter, a new set of courses that we'll be launching. So speed to market, efficiency of delivery, ability to participate in a wide variety of skills, these are going to be fundamental differences in the way that we're going to present the market with Cloud Campus. So that's the significance of it. I think as you see, you will get a larger and larger share of our revenues happening on the Cloud Campus as we go forward.
Okay. Sir, considering that now, like for example, if today the revenue share is 5%, I'm assuming that going forward, like 2 years time frame or 3 years time frame, significant portion like 20-25% coming from that, what will be the impact which we will see on the margin, assuming that the margin will also going to increase, right? Because the cost will come down on the delivery part. Any flavor on that part, sir?
By the way, it is not going to be 5 to 25.
Okay.
It is going to be 5 to 75.
Oh, that's
right. Right now, Raghu, as he mentioned, this April onward, we have switched 50 courses, 50, against two or three which were running so far. Because now the technology has stabilized and we can therefore scale. So that was answering that part, but Raghu, you may want to talk about the margin improvement possibility.
The margin improvement possibility is even in the context of the coming year, we do see impact already in the courses. To the variable cost reduction in the coming year will be in the region of about 250-300 basis points, something that we had spoken about when we had first talked about Cloud Campus and the potential impact.
Okay.
In our own reckoning, we can see that happening in the coming year.
Okay. Sir, assuming, sir, one last question on individual learning solution. I have too many more questions, if I can ask.
Go ahead.
Yeah. So, thing is this, like, assuming that, considering that this year was not good for individual learning solution, assuming that the same year, same trend continues, and IT hirings, whatever, say, it is muted and it is likely to, I mean, if it remains in the same situation, and enrollments are likely to be in that range, what will be the impact? How much we can see a offset coming from the non-IT courses as well as the cloud?
I would like to look at this business going forward in three dimensions. One is the traditional IT courses, second is the new age IT courses, and third is the non-IT courses. If you look at the quarter four trends that we have seen, whether it is in placements, we were more or less same as last year, whereas the previous three quarters we were down about 5%. If you look at the enrollments on a like-to-like basis, quarter four was 8.2% lower compared to about 19% lower in the three quarters preceding that.
Correct.
We also talked to you about substantial increase in the NITAT, test takers as well. So if you look at various indicators, we are given to believe that the decline in the IT business is slowing down. We also have seen actual realization of good growth in the non-IT businesses. It's not a concept anymore. We have had 48% growth in the last year in the non-IT courses.
Correct, sir.
So overall, the serious business, going to what we have seen in the last quarter, as well as what we are seeing in the first 6 weeks of this year, our comfort that the worst is over is getting reinforced.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So for our own planning, we are not expecting a huge recovery in the IT, pure IT pressure intake like we had in the 2 years or so back onwards. So it's not like our business is hinging upon substantial recovery on that. We have taken management actions which will look at new age IT courses. Like Mr. Pawar was saying, segments which are recruiting in the country for domestic user side as well as the domestic business, non-IT. So that's what we are looking at from a growth standpoint.
Okay, so assuming that even though the IT remains muted, but still we are likely to see growth in individual learning solution, is that I should understand from this?
Yes, because I think now the non-IT has also gained sufficient momentum.
Okay.
So it has started making a difference.
Okay.
I want to say that banking sector, with phenomenal retirements that is expected.
Correct, correct, sir. No doubt about it.
Two licenses that are going to be given, plus our entry into the training for the sales cadre and banks. These three things are phenomenal new opportunities that we are looking at.
Sorry.
And that explains why we grew in the first place in the last quarter itself at 45% in the banking enrollment.
Sorry.
So we see that to persist for the coming couple of years for sure.
Okay, okay, okay. So, sir, now secondly about the school learning solution. So, like, as I had... like, you know, you had discussed many times, like, we are shifting from government to non-government. But, sir, somehow that traction in the margin per se is not seen, and even the revenue, I understand the revenue trajectory could not be because we are coming out of the non-government business, but it is not also seen in the margin part. I mean, any flavor on that part, sir?
So on schools,
school learning solution.
I'd like to mention something. I think first thing you should know in schools is we have the intersection of two curves. We have two businesses, one very large government business which is reducing. It has reduced over the same period last year.
Correct.
The second is a business which is growing, and we therefore give that breakup. The non-GSA business has grown 17%, but the GSA business has reduced in size. And even this year, so now he will answer the question as to how margins are improving and will improve.
Good afternoon. As you know, we have gone through a transition year last year.
Mm-hmm.
And where we have seen a decline in the revenue of government board business, at the same time there has been an increase in the revenue of non-government business, which is private school business. Just to give you a flavor of contribution of private school business as to how it is moving, in the year 2012, we had a contribution from private school business on a revenue basis at 36%, which is moving up to 43%, which has moved up to 43% by 13, and this will move to 84% by FY16.
FY16, right?
Because there are contracts which we have to complete execution of.
Correct.
Government contracts which have to be completed. And therefore, its share in the total will keep reducing because of two reasons: non-government growing and government downsizing.
Correct.
So that is one part. The second thing is that the second transition we are doing is that we are moving in from annuity-based traditional classroom model to a cloud delivery model, wherein the business which we have done till now in the private school market has been on an annuity base, and the revenue is shared in 5 years' time. And now on the cloud basis, we will find a very comprehensive delivery of classroom solution, which is going to the schools at homes, and also the school ERP, quick school solution, and other related solution going onto the cloud. And also mixed with license-based product will give us a very sharp increase in the revenue. In terms of operating margin, just to give you a flavor, our margin, which is in the vicinity of 8 to 10% in the FY12, is moving up to 18% approximately by the year FY16, as per our trend what we are seeing today. But that's how the margins will improve, as I said, over the years. Thank you.
So thanks a lot for sharing. But sir, on this school learning solution, as we had talked about annuity, like more of a non-linear model rather than annuity model.
Okay.
So in that case, if you can share some, like, how it is happening, like, I can understand it is possible in MGuru, but in other conventional courses which we are offering, how we are doing it over there?
your question is not very clear.
Sir, my question is like, you know, I can understand this is possible in MGuru because last time when we discussed that MGuru, we are launching on a retail level as well. So I understood that. But considering that when we are talking about in schools also, we are now moving from annuity-based model to a non-annuity-based model. So how we are actually pitching over there?
No. So actually, I don't think annuity and non-annuity is the issue. Let me explain. Most of our learning solutions for the schools are annuity-based.
Correct.
Most of them. Some of them are, on the other hand, license-based. Just to differentiate from an existing, arrangement in the marketplace where everybody understands that school learning solutions means supplying content, putting some hardware, and collecting money over the 5-year period.
Correct, sir.
We are not in that business.
Correct.
Or supply of hardware. And we have seen what has happened to other players who were in that business.
Correct, sir.
So we have an IP plus services based offering.
Mm-hmm.
So our IP plus services based offering can be bought on a license basis only for MATLAB and for ERP that we offer.
Okay.
But for all other products, it is available on annuity basis only. So annuity based revenue will become a part of our, it will remain an important part. Even in the places where it is IP, where it is license-based, there is a services revenue which we will continue to get over the 5-year period or 3-year period as the case may be.
Correct. So, sir, in case like, in general, if you can share, what will be the average revenue per school from a non-GSA? Average revenue?
Average revenue per school.
For non-government.
I understand. 1 to 1.5 million per year.
Rupees, right, sir? Okay. Yeah. Okay. And margin difference between the GSA and government school and non-GSA would be?
Yeah, I think margin at gross margin level, non-GSA has a much higher margin. GSA has a much lower margin. It's a tender-based. But SG&A in non-GSA at this moment is high because we are ramping up.
Correct.
As soon as that SG&A, we start getting the benefit of operating leverage, then the margin will be. So in steady state, non-government school should give a margin of 25%. I've always maintained. We are not getting it right now, but we should get it.
Okay. So currently margin would be in the same range of what government is having, right?
No, it is better because government in the last parts of the contract, see, as you can see, government contract is you get the same revenue every year for 5 years.
Correct.
That means your margin decreases as you go further in the life of the project.
Correct.
Because inflation catches up. So at this point of time, since contracts are in the closing stages, our margin from private schools is better. However, the overhang of the government business as it is downsizing is depleting the market.
Okay. Sir, last for the corporate learning solution, corporate learning solution in terms of the revenue, no doubt we actually did significantly well, but still, like, you know, in terms of the margin, I believe what we were expecting, we did obviously from 90%, I think we are today 89% or 88% of the operating expenditure. But are we seeing like what should be the margin I should see, say, for example, from here 3 years, and what should be the revenue kind of we are looking for? It should contribute like 50% of the revenue over financial year 16, or how it is going?
Okay. Mr. Sapnesh Lala will answer first how this will grow, then what percentage of revenue it will be. I will try to answer.
I think I mentioned this earlier as well. We are going to continue to focus on growing this business at the current clip. We think that we can sustain that clip of 18 to 19 to 20%, and make some incremental improvements in the margin as well, mm-hmm. compared to where you see us today.
Okay.
Yeah,
hello, sir.
So, at this point of time, the corporate business, I'm just looking at FY13, is about 30% of total.
Correct, sir.
Correct. We do believe that with a higher growth rate that this is clocking, and by the way, we believe individual learning solutions will also come back to its growth rate soon. We believe it may be 40 to 43% in the coming years. In FY16, I'm just going by our totality. Yeah, it will be about 37-38%.
37-38%. Okay, sir. So, okay. Okay, sir. Thanks a lot, sir. Thanks a lot.
And I think we must give some other, though we have crossed the time, it will be unfair if we did not give this opportunity for others to ask questions. And just in case people have to log off, I just want to invite you for our investor meet in Mumbai tomorrow at 4 p.m. at the BKC at Trident. Trident BKC at 4:15 p.m. Please do join us, and we'll all be there to answer all the questions and more, and also demonstrate to you, show you how we use Cloud Campus, because we really believe cloud is a new way of learning. Let me open this out for any more questions if people have.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants, you may press star and one for asking a question. So there are no further questions at this time.
Okay. Thank you very much. In which case, I would like to thank each one of you. As usual, we learn a lot from your questions and get new insights. We look forward to a very intense interaction with you tomorrow at Mumbai. Tomorrow as in 24th at Mumbai at 4:15 p.m. at Bandra Kurla Complex at the Trident. Thank you very much for being here with us one more time. All the best.
Thank you. On behalf of NIIT Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.